All right, if you will, please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Last time we began another section in this chapter, beginning in verse 14, where once again Paul is determined to encounter, expose, and then counter those who are trying to promote the false teachings there at the church at Ephesus. And so he commands Timothy in verse 14. He said, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." The "these things" that he's referring to certainly refers to the preceding admonitions that he had given to them earlier in the chapter. But I think he's also referring to everything that he said right from the very beginning of the book. And he's telling Timothy, keep reminding these people of the truths that I've given to you to help you to accomplish the goal of ministering the Word of God, giving it into the keep of those that are faithful, that can also teach others also. And he's reminding them of these things, the things of God, how God reveals himself in his word, how he expects us to live. He reveals the wiles of the wicked one, the wiles of the enemy, and the resources that God provides, the propaganda of the false teachers. Those are good things to know. And the discernment of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, remind these people of these things as they strive to commit the truth of God's word to faithful people. And his point is, don't be distracted from the truth. Well, again, as he says in verse 14, he says, also charge these people before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And he's saying, charge them as if God was standing there himself. Charge them as God's spokesman. Don't be intimidated by their faces. Don't be intimidated by their criticisms. Don't dilute the command. Don't wax eloquent and try to diminish the truth. But preach this as if God was standing right next to you. Don't put a more tolerant spin on it, just to charge them as God's messengers to what? To not strive about words to no profit. Don't strive about words. You know, it's easy to strive about words. It's easy to strive about anything. These are words that he's saying that will end up subverting or really tearing down God's people. When God's people fight, nothing ever good comes from that. I mean, somebody may come out as far as being right, but nobody comes out being edified when we fight about things like that. And Paul mentions this back in his first epistle. He says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 3 to 5. He says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. He knows nothing, but doting about questions," and here's the phrase, "and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness." He says, "From such, withdraw thyself." And so obviously that was an issue there in the church at Ephesus. People just fighting and bickering about words. And you know, Christians do have a lot of things that we like to fight about. What is long hair? What is modest apparel? What is a good order of service? How often should we observe the Lord's Supper? These are all things that people debate about in the church. Should Christians go to the casino? What about movies? What about bars or places that have bars? Should Christians go to places like that? Should Christian kids play organized sports on Sundays? And the list of debate topics goes on and on. And you know what? Everybody has an opinion on those things. Everybody has an opinion on those things, and the Bible doesn't speak specifically about any of those things. And so everybody will have an opinion. Now, is it wrong to discuss why you hold a particular opinion about an issue with someone who may have an opposing opinion? Do you think that's wrong? Do you think Paul is saying don't even discuss these things? Well, no, that's not wrong at all. That's not what brings people down. That's not what tears people down. So long as the discussion doesn't deteriorate into striving about words, right? That's what he's talking about. Don't fight about words. Don't cause it to turn into the striving. This arguing that inevitably digresses into other sins, right? If you're striving, you're fighting with someone about an opinion, there's judgment going on, right? He deals with that in Romans chapter 14 and chapter 15. Accusations oftentimes are made, and it's not profitable for the edification of the body. Paul writes to the Romans, you have your opinions, be sure about your opinions that what you're thinking is pleasing to God, but don't judge others that don't hold that same opinion if God doesn't say anything about it, all right? And that's what he's talking about. That kind of attitude subverts. The word subvert has the idea of just pulling down and overthrowing the hearers. We don't argue about truth. And as I mentioned before, when we talk about truth, we're talking what the Bible says. There's no argument, right? There's no going back and forth as to what it means. If the Bible says it, that's what it means. That's truth. And we stand true on truth. We support, we promote the truth of God's word. And we can kindly and lovingly discuss our opinions with this in mind. We want to support the unity of the body, as well as maintaining the diversity that we can have in unity with our opinions. And so to promote and support truth and not be divisive in our opinions, Paul says this in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know that I've mentioned in my testimony before when I first got saved that my wife and I didn't have the benefit of actually having an established church, an established pastor there to kind of help us with our discipleship. But I do thank the Lord that he did place people, mature Christians in our path to help to mold our spiritual development. God would bring them in on submarines. He'd have them transferred in and then transferred out again. But one such man was the director of the Christian Servicemen Center in Naples, Italy. I just remember his name was Bob. Bob was the director of the Servicemen Center there. And I was saved after visiting there. I had read a bunch of tracts. A buddy of mine had gotten saved and was talking. His wife was talking to Sally. He was talking to me about being saved. And so I had a bunch of tracts that I had read. And so finally, when my ship went to Naples, I went to this Christian Servicemen Center and heard the gospel again preached there. And I had gotten saved after that. And then I would go back. I would keep going back to this Christian Servicemen Center. Well, Bob was one that was very concerned about growing in the Lord and discipling and being students of the Word of God. And I remember Bob said to me, he recommended that I get certain tools to help me to study the Word of God. One was a Strong's Concordance, right? Strong Concordance weighed about 45 pounds, right? This giant book. And he suggested that I get a Knaves Topical Bible and a Vines Bible Dictionary. All these things are these massive books. And he said, these will be very helpful as you read through the Bible, you study through the Bible. These will just be helps in helping you to understand certain passages. And so I did that to begin my Bible study journey. And then he said, when you can save up a little bit more money, he said, I encourage you to get a Matthew Henry's commentary. Matthew Henry has two groups of commentaries. One is a two-volume, which is the cheaper volume, the cheaper one, and then he has a five-volume. And so I went ahead and got the two-volume. And so from other Christians that would stop by our island, come off the submarines, find that we have this little group of brand-new Christians, they would come off like that. I learned the importance of systematically reading and studying through the Bible every day, and then praying for an increased knowledge and an increased application of that knowledge of God and His Word. And I remember when we were first saved, it was addictive. We couldn't get enough of the Word of God. It was like every single night, Sally and I would sit down and we would look into the Word of God, and it was thrilling. It was like finding buried treasure. We'd be reading the Bible and it's like, wow, did you know that said that? You know, the Bible said that. And then try to apply it in our everyday lives. And so many truths God opened our eyes to. And we constantly were in awe of God's truth. We were constantly rejoicing in it and applied it and proclaimed it as often as we could. And I didn't even know about Peter's command in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, verse 2, where he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And although I didn't know it at first, that was the application. I was applying it because I knew that that's what was going to help me to know God more and to grow in Him. And folks, the best way to keep from being deceived by the false teachers, and they're out there and they're closer than you think. And the best way to keep from being deceived is to be diligent, faithful in your study of God's Word. And, of course, every one of our goal ought to be to rightly divide the Word of truth, right? That's what we're supposed to study to do. And as I said, rightly divide means to cut a straight line. It means to stay straight according to truth. Make a straight course according to God's Word. We don't lean to the left. We don't lean to the right. We stay true to the course of God's Word with truth. And it's presenting every individual text in the context of the whole Bible. Because it was written by one author, right? The Spirit of God wrote the whole Bible. And so there's no contradictions from the beginning, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And the personal benefit to the student as you are diligently studying the Word of God is that you will be approved by God. That's what this verse is talking about. Study so that you may what? Be approved. So that God would be pleased with you. Paul actually explains this a little more in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says this in verses 3 and 4. He says, for our exhortation, talking about his giving forth of the Word of God, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. So he's describing his ministry in the negative sense. It wasn't this. It wasn't deceitful. We weren't lying to you. It wasn't promoting uncleanness. And it wasn't out of an angry spirit. He says, on the contrary, but as we were allowed of God. Now, that word allowed is the same word that Paul uses in Timothy here when he says approved. All right, it's the same exact word. And he says, when we were allowed or approved by God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So if we want to be approved by God, as students of the Word of God, our goal needs to be that when we exhort other people, that it ought not to be mixed with deceit, that it ought not to be mixed with uncleanness or guile, but that it would be the pure gospel that we speak. How do we do that? By being students of the Word of God, by learning and understanding the Word of God for the purpose of pleasing God, not pleasing men. There are a lot of people that are standing up and they are proclaiming what they would say is truth, but they want to please men before God. And that's not the gospel. And that's not making anybody approved before the Lord. The person who has that attitude toward God won't be ashamed. When you stand before God, even if it brought you difficulty here on this earth, When you stand before God, you will not be ashamed. You'll hear, well done. Well done for holding true to the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, in verse 16, Paul returns to the subject of mishandling God's word by just too much insignificant talk. Again, this must have been a problem in Ephesus. It is a problem everywhere, but especially in Ephesus. He says in verse 16, he says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." And it's kind of what he just said in verse 14, isn't it? That word shun is a very strong word. And it's the idea of avoid it like the plague. You know, if you see it coming, you cross the street, right? You ought to look at it with such grave reserve that you'll not want to encounter it. It's something that needs to be discouraged. It needs to be something that is refused and rejected by you when you see it coming. Well, what needs to be shunned? He says these profane and vain babblings. It's, like I said, it's similar to verse 14, but it's a warning again to not get involved with debates or arguments about things that actually promote strife and promote division. Instead of promoting unity and edification. Folks, there are things that will divide God's people if they are argued about. The things that we discuss should bring the body together. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, stay away from those false teachings, those charged teachings that will constantly progress and increase, verse 16, unto more ungodliness. And what it's talking about, when you focus upon these things, right, that are not edifying, that are not even highlighted in the Word of God, that what you can expect is that ungodly behavior will follow. Why? Because you're being distracted from the truth. You know, when you argue with people, there are emotions involved, right? You can get mad at people just because they differ from you, right, in a particular opinion. And it can cause you actually to hold bitterness in your heart, you know, because someone has a different opinion. And what Paul is saying is that when you're distracted from the goal, when you're distracted from walking in the light of truth, then it will also cause you to veer off when it comes to your sanctification, when it comes to your behavior as a believer in Christ. And you get caught up in these endless debates that have absolutely no spiritual value in accomplishing the goals of the local church. Paul says you've got to stay away from those things. You've got to quit doing those things. That's one of the reasons that the whole time I've been here, I've been very cautious. We're very cautious about Bible studies even. You say, wow, Bible studies. You know, Bible studies are going up everywhere. Everybody's having a Bible study. Praise God for Bible studies. When I first got saved, my wife and I started a Bible study. But there are a lot of Bible studies out there that are not profitable to the body of Christ. And we have to be very cautious. Getting involved in group studies with, I'm talking about group studies that have no spiritual guidance, right? That have no spiritual leadership. It's a great way to embrace and promote profane and vain babblings. There's a lot of babblings out there. And our flesh is drawn to the newness of stuff. Well, that's a new teaching. We ought to look into that. I've been associated with studies where those kind of questions will come up. And if there's not somebody there that can direct back to the Word of God, then people can start considering the value of false teaching. Our flesh does that. And so we've got to be so careful. You can go even on ChristianBook.com. There are lots of Bible studies out there that promote what they would consider non-traditional, progressive, and they don't they don't advertise it like this, but they're actually heretical views of some very commonly accepted Christian principles. And they'll use phrases like, we need to think outside the box. No, we've got the box, right? We don't need to be outside of this box. We need to stay within the box. It's too easy to get out of the box. And so we need to stay inside of the parameters of the truth of God's word. And so we have to be very careful. Christians like to talk about evolution. You know a lot about evolution? You know a lot about how God is involved in evolution? You just wouldn't believe how long a discussion can go on evolution when nobody knows anything about it. Right? There is no evidence of any of it. There's no evidence of God being a part of it. There's no evidence of the millions and billions of years and stuff like that. Yet, Christians will speculate and come up with their own conclusions. People will leave thinking, I think I have this. I think I've got this down. Totally, totally unprofitable. There's evolution, baptism, biblical roles of husbands and wives. People saying, you know what, in the New Testament, you know, that was a long time ago. Things have changed. We don't have the same roles and responsibilities as we used to. No, the fact of the matter is that God's word is true all the time for every age. And so that's why I say that we have to be very cautious about these things. There are Bible studies that will present several different worldviews, and then just leaving people on their own about which truth will become theirs, whatever their truth is. Pastors don't want to control people typically, right? Pastors don't want to control people's lives, but a good pastor will want to protect people, protect his people. And it's always wise to call the pastor and say, look, I'm reading this book, or I'm watching this blog. Do you watch blogs? Are blogs things you watch, or are those things you listen? I don't know. I don't listen to blogs, so I don't know what a blog is. But I know people listen to stuff, right? Even if there's a Bible study that you would like to host, or a book you'd like to read, or a speaker you'd like to follow, remember Paul's words in Hebrews 13:7. Listen to this. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Folks, there are deceivers. There are false teachers that are out there. And they would love nothing more than to see you distracted from the truth. The devil would like no more for us than that we would be deceived and really pushed off track of the goal that God has given to us. And so it behooves us not to be sidetracked from God's goals, but to seek godly counsel to help you not strive about words. If there are words that you hear striving and you have a question, call. You know, you don't have to say, look, I was listening to some babblings the other day, but, you know, just something that you heard and you thought you questioned and you thought that there was an attitude of derision or division that was coming from that, just call. You know, we can discuss those things. And because you can count on it, there's always some teaching that the devil will use to try to trip you up. Just know that, right? And every day you can expect that. That's what he wants you to do. He doesn't want your light to shine. He wants it to be diminished by something like that. He wants you to get off track. And so what we need to do is study to show ourselves approved unto God and to seek godly counsel to keep ourselves from being deceived. It is so easy. One of the reasons that we like to get off on some of these tangents is because of our pride, right? We like to think that we have a knowledge about something. And so we'll keep arguing it. And God is saying, look, if you see those things coming, avoid them. Don't do them. Stick to things that are going to build up the body and build up your spirituality rather than tear it down. May God help us to be discerning and mindful about what is truth and what is not. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for this admonition to Timothy. Lord, he was in a difficult ministry. He was in a ministry, Lord, that was greatly affected by many false teachers, and some of them still lingering around in their midst. Timothy, a young man having to stand for truth, was experiencing some difficulties because of it. But Lord, I pray that you would help us, like Timothy, to uphold these truths, that we would not allow the Word of God to be corrupted in this ministry, that we'd not allow our stand on the Word of God to be compromised. But Lord, help us to stay true to you, whether we're experiencing difficulties or not. But Lord, help us to be faithful in recognizing these things and keeping ourselves pure from them for your glory. We need you, Lord. We love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.